Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spring on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Happy 6 a.m. Happy hump day, everybody.
What is happening?
We're halfway there.
We're halfway there, man.
Halfway done.
Well, in a moment of the universe laughing at me yesterday, bragging about not spilling anything on my white tee, I spilled a giant drop of coffee right in the middle of my shirt on the way to work today.
Did you really?
Yeah, just right there. You know, hard to avoid it. You know, let's grab some wet wipes. Let's clean this thing off. We have no hand dryers in the bathroom. That's the proper way to dry it. I don't really have that ability, so I'm like scrubbing, 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 trying to get it out.
You got to let it kind of naturally just dry, you know?
Thankfully, it's warm in here, so I think by the time we get to 6:45, the stain on the middle of my shirt will hopefully be gone. It's one of my favorite polos, so, you know, let's pray for this t-shirt today. We make it.
Does coffee really stain? I feel like if you wash coffee, it comes right out.
I'm hoping it does. I don't know if it depends on the color of the shirt. Like, white might be a little more difficult. Maybe pink is a little bit easier to get out.
This is more of a pink salmon-ish
kind of color,
right? It's more of a
pink
salmon, right?
I got a pink salmon thing going on over here right now.
I think just looking from here across from you, because of the shadows and the way the mic is, you can't see it.
Hey, look at that. All right, good. We're one for one then. Right out of the
gate. Totally fine. Totally normal.
Like, right at, if it's a little bit lower on the shirt, nobody will even notice it.
Yeah,
it just happens
to
be right in between the chest. Right here, you know, right in between my nips. That's not a good thing.
Right in the chest, mate.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Off to a rip-roaring start.
Oh, just a delightful beginning to the day.
There's been a development in my life where I'm starting to, is there going to be a crossover event?
Oh, okay.
An event horizon.
We have a synergy event going on here?
There's something brewing, it feels like, and it hasn't been talked about, okay. And I've been holding it.
What's in the winds? What do you hear? What's the whistle in the wind?
So this weekend, I got a text from a friend, and they were like, hey, my kid is playing with your niece in a sport.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
Oh, okay.
That's random. That's cool. And I'm like, yeah. And my son has a play date with your nephew. And I was like,
what?
Oh. All right.
We're making friends.
And now I am talking to your sister-in-law, and we're having real conversation. And I'm like, what's happening here?
This is a little weird. I don't know if you want this close to my family. I don't know who the person is.
I'm more wondering if at some point I'm going to show up to a family barbecue. So I live right next to one sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Like, we're adjacent neighborhoods. Like, we walk to each other's houses.
Right.
I have another sister-in-law who lives in the Hillsboro area.
Okay, that's a little bit deep from you.
It's a little deeper,
yeah.
But, you know, we don't see him as much, but, you know,
right.
We hang out a lot. And I'm just wondering, like, what event am I going to show up to and the Harrahs are there?
Oh, we got a Harrah and Sprague crossover family event.
I'm starting to wonder a little bit now because I was texting yesterday and I'm like, oh my God, is the brand man going to be at a random family barbecue?
He's going to walk up to a soccer game. There's the brand man. Hey, Brandon, what are you doing?
Well, I've seen him at a basketball game before, him and his family.
Hanging out, watching their kids.
Yeah, because his son and my nephew are roughly the same age. They play in the same stuff.
Right. He's out in the Hillsboro Beaverton area. He's out there.
But now I have found out that his daughter is also doing the same soccer stuff as my niece. And it's just kind of been throwing me through a loop.
I don't know if I want my worlds colliding here. You know, you want work to be work and you want personal life to be personal life.
I'm not anti-Harrahs.
No, the Harrahs are wonderful people.
Wife runs on my Hood to Coast team. Yeah. He showed up at my house last year at like 4 a.m. to drop her and her stuff off. And
hey,
I was like,
dude, what are you doing in my house?
What's up, dude?
Hey.
What are you doing here? I don't know why I didn't put that together.
Good morning.
It just throws me off. It throws me off. It's like when you run into like a high school classmate you hadn't seen in 10 years.
Yeah.
And you turn around and you're like, hey, you're alive.
Hey, man.
How about that?
You're
Look
still
that.
Here. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I didn't know you were still ticking, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, the birthday wishes stopped rolling in about 9 years ago. Yeah. I apologize about that, but, you know, hey, good to see you.
So what have you been up to? Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
God, is there anything worse than those conversations? I avoid those like the plague.
There's somebody from my high school.
Because then you have to have the same conversation with everybody in that, you know, department because you just haven't seen them in so long.
So there's somebody from my high school that works at a store that I quite frequent, but I think because of how low my hat sits sometimes, they can't tell who I am.
Smart move. Keep the bill low.
Random white guy walking around.
Got a white tee on, and you're blending in, man.
Exactly.
Out in Damascus, you're a dime a dozen out there.
Camouflage, man. Camouflage. And I'm like, I'm never going to initiate a conversation.
No, you never do.
And if it ever does happen, I'll go, oh!
Oh, I don't recognize you.
How about that?
Good to see you, dude.
Yeah, how you doing?
How you been, man?
It's one of those instances, yeah.
I have that. There's a place in our neighborhood where there's somebody who is a server at a restaurant who... I don't remember the name, but I know the person.
Oh, no.
It's one of those. And I'm like, God, I'm going to go in there one time and they're going to want to talk to me and I'm not going to know what to say.
You think they'd recognize you and know your name?
I've been in there once and they didn't serve me directly. It was more of like I'm sitting and I'm witnessing them walk around and I'm like, I know that face. I know that person. I just can't put two and two together
of who
it is. Why
don't you sneak a little photo and text the group chat?
Yeah, anybody remember the person? And then it's even more obvious. I'm leaning over the edge of my phone. Why are you taking a picture? Oh, hey, Andy, how are you? Hey, you. Hey, man.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing? My brother-in-law, we were playing golf this weekend. He had that. We were making the turn at Eastmoreland. And a guy came, Maya, how you doing? I started yelling his name out. He turns around. He's like, hey. They had like a five-minute conversation, and we're walking up the fairway. He's like, I have no idea who that was. I'm like, hey, you played it pretty good for me. I was adjacent to the conversation. I wouldn't have been able to put that together.
Was it an older guy or like a younger? Because
relatively,
he coaches baseball.
Relatively same age. Not an older guy. Okay, and he was like, he's asking about my family, and I don't. I got nothing.
That's a bad feeling.
It's a really bad feeling.
It's not a good feeling.
Not comfortable whatsoever.
No, it's a very uncomfortable thing that we do. Like, I've been coaching at this new program, this new club, and I say hi to all the coaches every time I get there. I have a running gimmick where I drop a nickname of an NBA player, and I see if they can guess who it is.
Ooh, look at you. Great, like, icebreaker game.
Yeah, like,
you are a coach, aren't you?
I am a coach, yeah. Hey, who's the Haitian sensation, huh? Can you name that player? And they'll never name it, you know?
No, they won't get it.
But I'll say what's up to all the coaches, and I will be constantly meeting other coaches, because at this club, there's like a pretty big wave of coaches.
It's a big circle.
And almost every time, I'm always like, I'm Brandon. Because I'm not going to assume you remembered my name.
No.
You're here a couple times a week.
That's actually a pro move on your part.
That's what I, you know, because like half the time I'm like, hey, what is your name? I just be honest about it. Like, your name? Oh, that's right. Okay, all right.
I wish I had that in my DNA. I can't do that. I don't know why.
You just fake it till you make it, huh?
I have neighbors who I've met and I still don't remember their name and they'll talk to me and I'm like, at this point it's like gone too far where I can't ask now.
The name thing's tough.
You got to get it out of the way quickly. If you do it, that's the proper way to do it. But if you don't do it the first couple of times, now there's been like conversations on a semi-weekly basis for months. I can't rip that Band-Aid off.
So one of my neighbors across the street I've talked to more, I ended up breaking his rototiller like when I first moved in. That was a great, like, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. I broke your rototiller. He's like, don't worry about it, man. I bought $50 at a garage sale. I was like, well, that still doesn't make me feel great.
No, I still feel bad.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm 94% sure he doesn't remember my name.
Yeah.
Whereas so he's got a very... common.
He's got an easy one to
Caucasian
remember.
Caucasian name.
Sure.
You know, it's four letters. It's
simple.
Boom, there it is.
Nice and easy. Norm, to the point.
There you go. Right. You know, it's like one of those where I'm pretty sure.
He's pulling the dirt on you. He's doing the, like, he knows you, but I, you know.
Yeah, we talk. What's up, man? Hey, how you doing? You know, but like I'm 94% sure he doesn't know my name and I don't want to be like.
Do you know my name?
I'm Brandon.
By the way. Just in case you
because
forgot.
Because we've already met.
Yes. You've had multiple conversations.
And I don't think he wants to admit that he doesn't remember my name.
That ship has sailed. You're just going to be the neighbor guy for the rest of the time.
I think, unfortunately,
someday he'll move out of the neighborhood. Maybe he'll have the stones and the colonists to walk up to you. As a fellow guy who does the same thing as your neighbor, maybe the day you move out. Hey, by the way, what's your name again? I'm never going to see you again. So.
Oh, that guy and his wife. They're moving out.
They're wonderful people. I see him across. He broke my rototiller. Other than that, he's a delightful guy. I just couldn't tell you his name to save my life, man. It is funny, though, when you get the workplace and the home life, the bubbles colliding is kind of a weird thing.
Well, have you ever had it?
Not in like modern life, no. But I used to run into like, I remember back in the early days of the station, I'd bump into Dusty Hara out about on the town from time to time. And it was always weird.
How?
Just at a bar.
He lives in Hillsborough.
I know. We would frequent similar bars occasionally.
Run into the east side?
I'd run into him on like 21st, you know, back in my going out days.
Really?
Like, hey, Dusty, what's up, dude?
How about that?
It was always weird, though. It always took you back. You do a double glance of like, am I at work right now? Is that Is that the Fan Man?
There's an odd thing for me personally. It's not that like I don't like Dusty or any other coworker.
No.
It just throws you off. You're stunned for a minute, like, oh, I'm seeing you in the wild.
Yes. If you went out to coffee and our boss man, Ryan Cooley, walked into the coffee shop, you'd be like, dude, what?
Like on a super random Saturday?
What? Cooley, what's
up? What are you doing here?
Hey, what's up, man?
But yeah, there's an element of like, am I going to walk into a barbecue right. and his entire family's just going to
be there?
Yeah.
This could be a new thing. Maybe the Sprague's and the Harris are going to hit it off. What? You guys are taking like family vacations now. All of a sudden, you guys are in Mexico together for a week.
Well, the weird thing, I haven't talked to him about this. This is like...
Well, this is how we deal with our problems. You know, we air them out on the air before we go face-to-face.
I tend to lean
that way.
Not that
this is a problem. It's just, it's a fun bit.
It's just very unusual. Like, his wife was talking to my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And she was telling me how, like, she's given her all these compliments. And I'm like, I've known her 18 years. She's never once paid me one compliment.
Not
so you're already
time.
Ahead of the game for me.
You're already higher on the bingo
you're
chart.
You're already higher on the old chart than me.
Hey, Brandon, looking good. Not even one of those? No. Hey, nice haircut. I like your plain white tee.
I'll say something like, hey, how you been? And she'll go, why are you wearing that shirt? And I'll just be like...
All right, I'm going to go sit down.
Over here. I'm going to go to the side here. I'll have a conversation. She'll ask me something, and I'll go, oh, well, and then I'll start explaining what she asked me about, and I will realize a minute and a half her ADHD has fully kicked in, and she is doing something else.
She's not paying
attention.
And I go,
hey,
remember?
She's like, what? What?
Remember talking over here?
And so I had to warn his wife of like, hey, if you're ever talking to her, and she just stares into the abyss.
She kind of trails off mentally.
She is ignoring you. Yeah. That's a condition.
That's going in one ear and out the other.
That's kicking in.
Nothing is registering about what you're saying right
she's
now.
She's probably editing photographs now, and she's forgotten about your conversation that's happening. So don't take that personal. That's just kind of who she is now. But I need to like, I know that this is happening between other coworkers in the building. And I don't know how much it's talked about, but Joe Fisher and Jason Sukanik,
their bubbles
quite
are
quite frequently. Yeah. They're on
that's
party
bigger
boats.
Than bubbles. That's like,
do they go on vacations together?
They're essentially brothers at this point.
They kind of are, which makes Joe stealing Suk's yogurt
even better.
Really funny because you know I'm not going to act like I wouldn't do that once in a while with my brother-in-law.
Sure. Hey, come on. I'm taking your yogurt,
come
dude.
Come on, man. I want a Greek yogurt. What do you want from me?
It's a Greek yogurt. It's a dollar. You'll be okay.
But, so they're used to it, but also I still think there's a lot of elements where Sukanik's like, God, I got to see him again.
That feels like a very one-way, like Joe's probably more like, hey, it's cool hanging out with Suk again. What's up, buddy? Where are we going to go?
Oh, Suk, you don't think Suk likes hanging out with Joe?
I think it's
Joe?
The opposite of like Suk. Like, oh, God, Fisher again. What are we doing? I can't get rid of this guy. Although, to be fair, a lot of that is on Sukanik, because I believe he was the one that set him and his gal up, was he not?
No, well, kind of.
Or his gal set
gathered,
the gal, set, yeah.
It was, I think it's, because they're only doing that because their girlfriends are
their
best
girlfriends
friends.
Their girlfriends are very close together.
And so I think the girlfriend was like, my friend is single and she's been nothing but with dirtbags.
Yeah.
And I think Sukanik just threw an idea of like, hey, have a nice date with a nice guy.
I got this guy I work with. His
name's
Joe.
He's super horny. He's super young. He's ready to go. And I think it clicked. And now that's become a full-blown relationship.
This is why you got to be careful who you set up people with blind dates on. Because you never know what could transpire.
Do you want to hang out with that person?
You never know what the future's going to look like. And if the gals are very close friends, you know what you're going to be in store for? A lot of time with that person.
Well, and you know that
this
his
is the way it works.
Sukanik's girlfriend, Japanese.
Yes.
The gal's friend, also Asian.
Yes.
It's funny now my algorithm is showing me Joe Fisher making all these Asian cuisines. Teriyaki ribs with egg rolls.
He's embracing the culture.
And I'm like, hey, he's learning how to cook.
That's what you got to do. That's a big step when you're trying to mix cultures together like that. You got to embrace it,
man.
You got to start cooking the food.
Yeah.
You got to know what you're doing. You started making pho. You're a big pho guy.
I can make pho now.
Did you know pho before you met the wife?
I know.
I never heard of pho 10, 15 years ago.
You made fun of me for eating pho 10, 15
like,
years ago.
What is pho? I've never heard of this thing before.
You just started laughing. Beef noodle soup.
What?
I'm like, I mean, it's pretty good, man.
I still have never had pho.
That's shocking to me.
I know. It is pretty shocking.
There's
it's
a
not
lot of...
a, like an avoidance. It's not a I don't want to try it.
Mm.
I've never been to a pho restaurant. Maybe I have and I just haven't looked at it on the menu. Could be on me.
I'm going to speak for the Vietnamese culture here.
Go ahead. You defend your culture.
It's not, well, it's not mine.
Well, it's
kind of into it.
It's an inherited culture.
It's not that there's not good pho restaurants.
Yes.
It's that they're few and far between.
Mm.
So you
nothing in the neighborhood that serves pho that I am aware of that I have been to.
You could go to a pho restaurant.
Yeah.
And I would tell you there's about a 65% chance it's not going to be good.
Okay.
It's not going to be something that you go, oh, I got to eat that again.
Is it because the whites are making it?
No, it's just
hard to duplicate.
I think it's really hard to make in big, big batches.
That makes sense.
And so the broth might not be as flavorful.
Yeah.
You don't even know what meat you want to get. Do you want round eye? Do you want brisket? Do you like Vietnamese meatball?
It sounds good. What's in a Vietnamese meatball?
I don't even know. I don't eat
those,
it.
What goes into those things?
Do you like hoisin sauce?
I do like a little hoisin. Okay. I'll do a little hoisin.
You like sriracha? I know that.
I'm a big sriracha guy. I'm a white. Whites
like
love
cilantro
sriracha.
And onion?
Who doesn't love cilantro and onion?
So you can make it a good bowl, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, there's a 65% chance that restaurant you go to is going to suck at making it.
Yeah, we got a Japanese restaurant in the neighborhood. Obviously, no pho. Different class. We do have a dumpling place that opened up. I was a little disappointed by that because I'm not the biggest dumpling guy.
Yeah.
And it was, like, prime location of, like, I wish something else went in there.
Yeah.
I shouldn't judge a book by its cover. I haven't tried it yet, so maybe it's good. Maybe the dumplings are solid. I just have, like, all the things that I could eat of that persuasion. Dumplings are pretty low down on my list. If it was a pho place, I would have been in there by now.
Well, you're...
I got to pop my pho cherry. At some point, I will.
Your Japanese spot's pretty popular.
Japanese spot's huge. Everybody's always there.
Small. There's a line.
Always lines.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a delightful place.
Yeah.
But they don't serve any pho. Different cultures.
So I think, like you and I, we golf once in a while.
Yeah.
We've hung out a couple times. But that's kind of it.
That's it.
You know, and it's not like I'm an anti-you.
No.
I just see you a lot. We talk a lot. We do this together.
It's a lot of time. All right? We need breaks.
I don't know how I'm going to feel if I'm seeing Dusty every other weekend because he's at a family event.
All of a sudden, he's showing up at your house, knocking on your door. What's up, Sprague? We're here for the barbecue.
That would be really far drive for him.
What are you doing in my house, man? That's a little weird.
Hey, man.
Hey, you want to come in?
Also feels odd to talk to his wife on a text message and he's not on it. And I'm like, all right. I guess this is just happening. We're all just hanging out, mingling.
This is it. There's no avoiding it. Your worlds have collided.
That's all we could do.
There's work Jerry and home Jerry, and they have now collided. One listener, by the way, saying you got to go to the neighbor's house that you don't know. This is for me, and steal their mail to get the name. I don't think I'm going to pull that one off.
Boy, that's a ballsy move. Nowadays, you're going to get caught.
Ballsy move.
Like, what did you take my mail for?
I could probably ask the mailman because the mailman would know. Like, he could give me the lowdown on it, but I'd be worried that he might spill the beans to the neighbors. I don't know their names.
It'd be really funny if it was only Mr. and Mrs. stuff on the envelope.
Just a last name. Now I'm just they're on a last name basis with me now. Now my neighbors are calling me Johnson around the name. Hey, Johnson. What? Huh? Me? You talking to me?
I think because of the way that Thunder Laker game ended up going, I was texting yesterday and then this topic came up and I started thinking about this more than I cared about the ending of that blowout.
Well, you didn't miss much, you know.
It was close for a while.
And they hung around for about three quarters. SGA flopped his way into halftime. Every time he drove to the hoop, it wasn't even an intent to score.
How uncomfortable are Laker fans going to be when they give Austin Reeves $200 million?
Pretty uncomfortable.
Not that he's not going to be good again in the series. It's remarkably
bad. He's coming off
an
injury and he's not making shots right now.
But it's bad.
It's not good.
He's not even a top five player on the current roster.
I think we had, it was like the lowest field goal percentage for a game in Laker playoff history. Minimum a certain number of attempts, like 15 attempts.
I've lost faith that he's going to get it back. That's what it's done to me.
He's got the shooting yips at this point.
He just looks like somebody with no confidence. He's not overly athletic. It's just like, all right, well, I guess LeBron's just going to do this by himself at 41.
There was a question to LeBron after the game. Hey, so what's wrong with your guys' offense? He's like, well, you know, we're missing 37 points per game. Oh, yeah, that's right. Your best player's not available in the lineup. That's going to make things a little more difficult for you.
That's a pretty accurate
assessment. One of the greatest offensive players in the history of the NBA is not in your lineup, and your offense isn't as good? What's bogging it down right now, LeBron?
Did you see, I think I saw it on a retweet, did you see Ric Flair? Did you see Ric Flair last night?
No.
So I don't.
Was he at the game?
He may or may not be a Laker fan. I don't even know if Ric Flair's. I thought he was a Charlotte guy.
I did too.
So I don't. Maybe he's a Laker fan from back in the 80s or whatever.
That probably sounds right.
He just tweeted Luka Doncic, take a shot and get out there and play. You make $50 million a year. Save them. I was like, what? Ric Flair?
Off of the top rope?
Just off the top rope with a leg drop?
Look, Luca, quit being a bitch. Get your ass in the lineup, all right? Stop flying to Germany or wherever you're going for your, you know, stem cell treatments to try and treat your hamstring or whatever the hell's
hurt. He said, Luca, at Luka Doncic, please get in the game, take a shot of cortisone and deal with the pain. They're paying you $50 a year. And you're not there. WTF. I hope Jeannie Buss trades you next year.
No, she can't.
Nobody wants
anymore.
A lame duck on their team.
She doesn't own the team anymore, so I don't think she can pull that trade off. She has sold the team, Rick, so we got to update that one. But, you know, hey, that guy probably wrestled through God knows how many injuries. He's looking at Luka like a softie.
We got a lot to get to here on a Wednesday. Statter story. It's good to be in with you. Let's start the show next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brathen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brathen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan. All right, welcome back in. But I know I'm 627 that tune. On Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Back on top in June. What was worse last night? James Harden.
Ooh.
Turning the basketball over. He has 43 turnovers in 8 playoff games. The Cavs themselves have the most turnovers in the NBA playoffs to this point since 1996.
He's never going to beat the allegations, is he?
No, it doesn't appear he will, Andrew.
Is there anything that he could do to redeem himself?
Yeah, they win this series and he has a good game 7.
Does that redeem himself though career-wise if they just get to the conference finals? Like, does he
if anything they get to the NBA finals? I think there's a little bit of redemption.
There's a little
there.
Bit of redemption. I mean,
because what we don't allow is the nuance of conversation and honesty about rosters in this league's history, right? It's always down to one player.
Right.
Oh, what did that one player accomplish?
Right. You got a title.
He didn't accomplish this. Okay, that means he's not as great.
Right.
Whereas like Barkley, how many finals did Barkley get to?
Just the one, I believe, right?
So, like, I'm not telling you James Harden's better than Charles Barkley all the time. I'd take Barkley. But I'm just saying, like, if Harden got the Cavs or helped get the Cavs to the finals at this point, yeah, I think he'd redeem some of it.
He's got to play good, I think, in order to get there. It's one thing if you get there and he's, like, along for the ride. If he's a good player in the mix, then I think I'll grant the opinion. I saw the stat, though. He's played in 181 playoff games now after last night. That was the 45th time he's had as many or more turnovers than field goals in a game. So literally a quarter of his playoff games he's played in, he's had as many turnovers or more than he's made field goals in the game. And last night was another example where he had more turnovers than, I think it was 7 or 8 turnovers and 6 field goals made.
I will watch the end of those games, but that's got to be one of the least exciting playoff series to hit our TVs in the second round in a while. There's just nothing exciting about Pistons-Cavs.
Not a lot of juice. It's not anything against the markets. Some of it is the Harden thing. Detroit's not the most enjoyable team to watch.
It's Kate Cunningham and everybody else.
And I turned it on because I forgot it started a little bit earlier. I turned it on after dinner at halftime. It was the start of the third quarter, and Cleveland made a little bit of an inroad. They tried to make it a game. It wasn't a terrible game, but it was weird to see, like, everybody in Detroit seemingly got the memo we're all gonna go get food and go to the bathroom, because there was nobody in their seats at the start of the third quarter. It took like halfway through the third quarter for that place to fill back up. It was kind of a weird look, but good for the Pistons, man, them getting to the conference finals. It's what a weird postseason for them so far. I know it's only one game, but probably should have lost to Orlando. Orlando just did something historically bad in game 6 at home. That would have been an 8-1 upset. Now they're up 1-0 in the second round against Cleveland. Like, that's going to be a weird feeling of, we were a moment away from losing in the first round, and now we're 3 wins away from the conference finals.
I think, if anything, the one fan base watching last night laughing should have been the Knicks fans.
Yeah.
They should be thinking thinking about NBA Finals games.
This is it.
That's what I would tell myself if I was a Knicks fan.
Yes.
So what was worse, James Harden doing that
really bad last night,
or watching SGA do his foul baiting gimmick?
I can't stand him.
And look, I will defend some of it. Like, he's really good at drawing contact. I think he's good at, like, going up into contact. Last night, I'm watching this thing, and people have now clipped videos. You can find this all over social media.
Yeah, you can't hide from the eye in the sky.
It was another level of, like, truly pathetic.
Every time anybody was within arm's reach of him, he was falling to the ground.
He had one where Kennard was roughly with him around the free throw line, and he leaned back, and he kind of kicked his foot out, and he made his body go weird, and he fell on the ground. And
yeah.
They called a foul, and Kennard, like, looked around, and Kennard did not touch him. Reddick couldn't challenge because if he lost, they had no timeouts because they burned a lot of their timeouts early.
Trying to stop every OKC 10-0 run. Timeout! You got to call a lot of those in a game like that to try and hold on for dear life.
Also, like, it feels weird to root for the Lakers.
It does.
It feels wrong.
It's dirty.
I was wearing my Beat LA t-shirt this weekend at a coffee shop, and a guy just starts laughing. He goes, "We don't wear Beat Portland shirts." And I go, "Yeah, I get it. Yeah, we're the little brother."
I know. I know. Yeah. It's, you know. I don't know if we've ever beaten you in the playoffs.
You don't need to make the comment. I understand. You don't wear Beat Portland.
Have we ever won a postseason series against the Lakers?
Sure. At one time.
We have Cliff, the out-of-bounds Cliff moment, or the turnover from Cliff. That was a heartbreaker. That team could have won a title. Obviously.
Well, you know what? We haven't. Let's go back and let's not talk about that.
I don't think we have.
My point is,
I'm sure we have maybe in like night, like randomly.
Sitting here rooting for a player that I've loved his whole career and appreciate more than I am wanting OKC to win because.
Without a doubt. It's not even close.
I can't stand watching the flop and the flailing.
No.
And then like what's nuts about that team, and this is almost a compliment to them. It's just insane that I'm watching this. I'm like, oh, it's a 4-point game. And you walk to the kitchen to just throw a thing in the sink, and you come back, and they're up 14 points. You're like, what happened?
Yeah.
How do they get all these points that quickly? It's annoying.
It's really frustrating.
I cannot stand it.
It's also another example of just like I do find myself rooting for the Lakers in the series, and it feels dirty to say that.
I'm rooting for LeBron is how I'd phrase
it. Yes, it's not a Laker thing. Like, I don't know how many more runs we're going to get at this. He's playing at such a high level at the age of 41. Like, you sent a text last night of if you put him on another team.
Thanks for responding, by the way.
Dude,
It was like 8 o'clock.
I know. It wasn't even that late.
I was already on my way to sleep.
I was sweating out the over in the hockey game, which, by the way, an empty net goal with 4 seconds
so
to goal.
Funny.
Full-length ice. Like, that was this bet's not out of cast. I was locked into that.
So let me ask you. You were going to – I text you and Brandon last night. I was actually more disappointed in you, Brandon. Him not responding, I'm used to that.
That out of me.
Like,
yeah.
It's by 7 o'clock.
I didn't get my nap in yesterday, so
that's okay.
Early bedtime.
Yeah.
Let me throw this at the listeners, too. You can chime in at 503-864-6326. If you added LeBron on any team, sans OKC, what team would you pick if they had LeBron that would beat OKC in your opinion? Like, right now, I took this LeBron, the way he's playing. Dude, he was awesome last night.
He was unbelievable.
He was the only player for the Lakers outside of Jarrett Vanderbilt's pinky that was newsworthy.
Dude, the face on the Thunder bench when that happened was
I'm glad
really
we
funny.
Didn't see it.
Yeah.
It had to have been horrific.
If you're looking, like, fingers get dislocated
it
all the time in basketball games.
Completely
like,
backwards. If you added him to any of the other teams, the West or the East, what team would you add LeBron where you'd say you would actually pick them to beat OKC?
The East is tough. New York would be the easiest pick right
Imagine
now.
Imagine him on the Knicks team.
On the Knicks, yeah.
OG.
The way he's playing.
Brunson, I mean,
you just
Kat.
Sit Bridges down at that point. Like, take your ass to the bench, dude. You don't need to play anymore. You're terrible.
You just be the eighth man off
yeah,
the bench.
You can be, yeah, ninth guy. So the Knicks would have a puncher's chance. I don't know if I'd pick them, but that would be the only one in the East that would make me... I need to see a little bit more out of Philly before I go there because it's one series so far and they look so bad in game one. We'll see how tonight goes.
Who would he be scarier on, Oklahoma or Minnesota or San Antonio?
San Antonio.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got Ann Edwards in Minnesota. He got Jade McDaniels.
Yeah.
I got Jade McDaniels.
I just think the Spurs could use that leadership and experience.
The veteran that
without
can
a doubt
everything.
The
yeah.
super veteran experience.
I'll go on.
Think about his brain
guide
with those guys.
This playoff
yeah.
run.
What the hell, dude? I hate Oklahoma City enough. Minnesota or San Antonio. Put them on either one. I'll pick them to beat
You'd
OKC.
No, I'm asking legitimately.
I think they absolutely could. Yeah. I mean, Minnesota has the Anthony Edwards thing. There's a ton of experience. If you put him in the middle of that with everything else they have going.
Like, he'd find a way to fit in.
He'd find a way to fit in. And to Brandon's point on San Antonio, like that's the one thing that San Antonio's kind of missing. Like outside of Harrison Barnes, who's not a big role, like he's, you know, handful of minutes a game.
Right.
De'Aaron Fox had one postseason series in his career coming into this.
He was one of the playoff vet guys that was given
credit.
Like
five games,
in one series.
Dude. they got bounced in the first round. I don't even remember how long it went.
Man, that beam died quick.
That's kind of the one thing that they're missing. And they looked a little lost late in the game. And so you got LeBron to toss the ball to in the half court to go get you a bucket, a fadeaway, turnaround jumper, whatever. Yeah, I'd have no problem picking either. To your original question of what is worse, and to the point of who's not responding to texts, I expect this out of James Harden. Not that I don't out of SGA. Like, James Harden has always been this in the postseason, which is why the trade deadline move just made me kind of chuckle of like, You're looking for a guy to put you over the top, and James Harden is the one you hitch your wagon to? All right, good luck with that. And so far in the postseason, that's gone according to plan because he's been terrible, and they were pretty fortunate to win their first-round series. Like, SGA, man, you won a title. You're the MVP. You're probably going to win another MVP. Just be better than that. The Jaylen Brown stuff
be
was...
Be better. That's just his game.
It sucks. It absolutely sucks. It's not fun to watch. It's not entertaining.
It's why he...
Harrison Morang have a promo going. I love my guy Patrick Harris, okay? Love my guy P. Harris.
Okay.
They have a promo playing point on promos from yesterday on the mail side question promos, huh? About how he finds them enjoyable to watch. And I just, every time I hear it, I yell at my radio and I'm like, no, they're not. They're not fun to watch. They can run people out of the gym because they're deep and they're talented. I grant you that.
Dude, they're so deep. How many people don't even know who A.J. Mitchell is?
No idea. Who
and
the
he's
is
in
this
the
guy?
Starting friggin' lineup just hitting threes.
Never heard of this guy before, and he's dropping like 15 in a playoff game.
They're like 12-1 with him as
the
starting.
They don't need J-Dub.
No, they don't need one of their best players, who we would die for this offseason.
Oh, my Lord.
They don't even feel the impact of him not being in the lineup. So first off, screw them. Second off, like, no, when your best player is that, no. It's like, I would, hot take. I'd rather watch the Pistons play basketball right now than the Thunder because I appreciate Cade Cunningham's more than I do SGA's. I'm not saying
SGA.
He's better.
They
I'm
play
not...
such a beautiful style of basketball.
Get out of here, dude. When the best player is going, finding a way to the foul line every 15 seconds.
Is that the sound he makes versus
that's the
Kobe?
Sound he
he's
makes.
Like, hey!
But he was actually getting fouled. M1! You got those, but you're trying to finish and somebody makes contact with you. I'm out, dude. I hate him.
All right, so of these four teams, I'll put the poll question up as a fun start to the show. Of these four teams, which of these four teams would you pick to beat OKC if they added LeBron right now? Knicks, T-Wolves, Spurs, is it Sixers? Is it Pistons? Is it Cavs?
I think you go, give me Sixers right now.
I put Sixers on
give
it,
give me
too.
Sixers right now.
Because they'd have Embiid, Max, and George. Like, that's
bigger
a,
names, more household
Edge
guys.
Come. Yeah,
yeah I'd go, go with Philly.
All right, I'll put the poll question up at Dirt and Spray. You can vote there. Lakers end up not covering the number, even though it was close for most of the way. We'll talk some more NBA. I got some college football stuff I want to get to at the top of the hour.
Hell yeah.
And I have a very random baseball segment coming up next that we'll get to. Bobby Marks will join us at 8 a.m. today. Dirt and Spray, we're back with more on 105.1.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Fan. Well, Mariner fans got to see what an MVP looks like.
Took him 45 minutes into the show.
Matt Olson, baby.
I was waiting for that.
He's been awesome, man. He has been freaking awesome.
My team still sucks.
Yeah, I know.
I'm terrible.
Unfortunately, I saw that. I want to read this one from Optistats real quick.
Yeah.
A little bit of a baseball segment here.
Oh, okay.
Matt Olson currently leads the majors outright in doubles, RBIs, and runs scored. He's the first player to hold the outright MLB lead in all three categories at the end of any day in May or later since Ted Williams did it in 1949.
Old Teddy Ballgame himself,
old
man.
Teddy Ballgame,
that's
man.
A long, long time ago, according to my math.
So this isn't so much like a, hey, last night in baseball segment. This is more of a
general baseball theme segment.
I would say it's a plea.
Oh, a plea? We're pleading?
It's a straight up plea.
Who are we pleading to?
I am pleading to the sport of baseball. You've done a lot of really smart, good things, in my opinion. You've gotten people back to caring about your sport.
The challenge has been unbelievable this year. Yelling at players for
ABS,
challenging,
right.
Them mocking umpires in real time, like being able to show up somebody, an umpire or a player. It has been phenomenal. It's quick. It's over in a heartbeat. Like I love it. It's been a great change.
One thing I think as a sport they could do, and it may be a little thing to many, but I personally as a sports fan, being the age of 39, think if you do this, you have almost made up for every stupid thing you were doing for years. There has never, and I repeat, there has never in the history of the sport been a better year for you to look in the mirror and say, we made our fair share of mistakes.
Yeah.
We are done punishing Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, come on down to the MLB Hall of Fame. I would like to read you the first time candidates eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, I have not seen the list.
Yeah.
Who retired 5 years ago.
Okay, I'm going to rattle them off, and I want you to tell me
okay.
who gets in this class.
This is going to be a fun walk down memory lane. I love doing this.
Jake Arrieta.
Yes. Talk about roids. That guy was roided out of his mind.
Jay Bruce.
I love Jay Bruce. He had a pretty left-hand swing.
Asdrubal Cabrera. Starlin Castro.
Hey, Starlin Castro won a World Series, didn't he?
Wade Davis.
Wade.
Dexter Fowler.
Dexter Fowler, man.
Todd Frazier. Brett Gardner. J.A. Happ. Scott Kazmir.
Oh, my God.
John Lester.
Yeah, John Lester probably. Is John Lester a Hall of Famer?
He's Hall of
Is
very
he a Hall
good.
Of Famer? I got to look up at those. Let good. Me check overall numbers for John Lester.
Andrew Miller.
Yeah,
Mitch Moreland. Your guy who's destroying your own team, Buster Posey.
Buster will be a Hall of Famer. I don't know about first ballot. He'll be a Hall of Famer.
Buster Posey. I'm going to give you a hot take. Buster Posey, first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's first ballot for you, huh?
Yeah.
That is a bit of a hot take, I think.
He ruined the sport, but he's a Hall of Fame career.
Hey.
Hall of Fame career.
Exactly. Actively ruining my team, too, so I got that going for me.
Irvin Santana. Kyle Seagler's on this list.
Kyle Seagler's been retired for 5 years already?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mariner legend.
Joachim Soria, Ryan Zimmerman, and one, give me a second here.
This is one of the worst classes of
Jordan
all time.
Jordan Zimmerman. You tell me in the class of 2027
that's pretty bad.
Why baseball shouldn't collectively go, all right, we're done doing this.
This is stupid.
We're not putting Dexter Fowler in the MLB Hall of Fame.
Right.
Nor do we want one new guy and then maybe one old guy that gets in on the, what is that, the committee voting him in.
Yeah.
It's time.
Champions
it is time
committee
to right the wrongs. Bonds, Clemens, A-Rod, Buster Posey, and then one of the, you know, Dale Murphy. You know, whoever the hell you want to put in there. It's time for baseball to do the right thing. That's a terrible class.
That's pretty bad. There's only two names that even deserve consideration, I think, from that class. Now, maybe I'm being disrespectful to somebody, and I don't know. I'm not firm enough with the numbers off the top of my head. The only two guys that even deserve contemplation and will probably end up going in are John Lester and Buster Posey.
Did you look up Lester's numbers?
So he's got 200 career wins.
That's pretty good in the
modern
era.
Pretty remarkable. He pitched for 16 years. Career ERA 3.66. He obviously had seasons where he won 16, 15, 19, 15, 16, 19, 13, 18 over his Red Sox and Cubs runs. He won a World Series with the Cubs. He won, how many did he get with Boston? One or two? He was a, let's see, 5-time All-Star. I don't know if he ever won. He did not win a Cy Young. So that's probably
How
the biggest knock against him.
How many pitchers are in the hall that haven't won a Cy Young?
That's a great question.
That's a stat I'd be interested to find out.
Because that might be the only, because you could say he was never the best pitcher in a given year, but there's other guys
that were never the best pitcher in a year.
Let's see, that didn't win a Cy Young.
See if Google AI helps you on this one.
Yeah, by the way, the Blazer question on beating the Lakers, it has happened twice.
That's what I told you.
77 and 1992.
Oh, 77, how about that?
Numerous Hall of Fame pitchers are in the Hall of Fame that have never won a Cy Young.
There you go, so that's not a requirement.
Part of it is because the award wasn't established until 1956.
That's still a lot of pitchers that are in since 1956.
Yeah.
Or is it all pre-1956?
Did Nolan Ryan never win a Cy Young?
That can't be right.
That can't be
There's
right.
no way that's true.
That can't
See,
be
this
right.
is Google AI screwing up again.
It says Phil Niekro, Don Sutton were not Cy Young Award winners. So then obviously some relievers that never won it because relievers don't win Cy Young Awards or very rarely. Maybe it's happened before. So it's not like it's never happened before. I don't know if Lester's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I wouldn't go down kicking and screaming if he does ultimately make it in. And you know how I feel about my guy Buster. He deserves to be in for the three championships and the MVP that he won. Like, that's a pretty good calling card. One of the best catchers from a generation of players, right? A face of a modern dynasty. But
Dude.
when you look at it on the whole, his numbers don't necessarily jump off the page because he retired at such a young age. Like, he could have compiled for another 4 or 5 years. I mean, theoretically, he could still be playing technically now. He retired super young after the 21 season. He wanted to spend time with his family, and he was like, dude, I'm out. My knees are toast, and I don't want to do this anymore. So his numbers didn't compile the way some other guys do, but I think you would look at him as more of a smaller window run that he went on as one of the most dominant catchers in the game.
8-time All-Star.
Is this Buster?
2-time ERA title. World Series in 1969. Nolan Ryan has never won a Cy Young.
Never won a Cy Young. And I think they started awarding the Cy Young in 1956.
That seems very bizarre to say.
That's a weird one. But he's obviously a Hall of Famer. He's one of the most recognizable
324 wins.
Noted pitchers of all time. Yeah. I think 200 in the modern game has almost become the new 300.
The new 300?
Like, it just, you got to downgrade your expectations.
Because we've looked it up. Like, nobody really actively is close to reaching that. So my whole point is, like, baseball's done a lot of really good, smart things, and some people have bucked against what they've wanted to do, and I think have since turned and said, I actually like this.
Right.
And you get, you get the zigzag people, the counterculture people that tell you ABS is terrible and it sucks and they don't like it. But for the most part, I think it's pretty overwhelming that it's helped the sport improve this year, and then all the changes they've made the last couple years. This needs to be, as a sports fan,
it would be really smart for them to do it this summer.
You need to write it.
This Hall of Fame class, even for my guy, if Buster gets in the first ballot, I'm stoked about that. That's not a a big name. It's not a Griffey. It's not a Jeter. It's not a, like, that's not a name that will resonate with a lot of fans.
Well, it wouldn't be this summer. It's 2027 class.
Oh, okay, so for
next summer. That's the next crop of available guys.
By the way, quickly on the active wins leaders in baseball, there's only two guys with 200-plus wins right now, Verlander and Scherzer. Neither one will get to 300. They're both 43 and 41. Verlander's at 266. Scherzer's at 222. The next on the list is Gerrit Cole, who is now 35 years old. Are you kidding me?
But Scherzer and Verlander are going to the Hall.
They're both in the Hall.
Those are Hall of Fame.
Chris Sale, 37 years old. He's been in the big leagues for 16 years, 151 wins.
His best pitching's been happening in Atlanta.
I mean,
he's been unbelievable.
He's been really good his entire career. He's at 151. He's barely halfway there.
Do the right thing, baseball. Do the right thing. We have a loaded second hour. There's a lot to discuss. We're going to pivot. This happened yesterday in college football. And some say real ball knowers wouldn't be for it, except it's the ones who do love ball the most. And we'll tell you what it is. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.